Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch or into the pit? We started studying blind yesterday. Let's go to Romans 2. When we read this, it's to the Jews, but it's also to the Christians. And the reason is, there's no such thing as synagogue Judaism in the scriptures. There's only temple Judaism. And so the Jews have made a fundamental error, because without the temple, there can be no Judaism. That's the meaning of the offerings and the sacrifices. And the Christians are in the same boat because they're waiting for Jesus to come again, i.e. to build the temple in Jerusalem. So modern Christianity and synagogue Judaism are the same thing. Do you understand that? Okay, so we're going to read about this what Paul is saying to the Jews, but you've got to hear it. He's also saying it to us.
But what is the temple?
Well, the only temple in truth is Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is in you, then you also are the temple. But both, as I said, both synagogue Judaism is waiting for the Messiah to rebuild the temple, and Christianity is waiting for a Messiah to build the temple, rebuild the temple. So they're both the same. There's no difference. I think I've told you before about this conference back in the late 80s in New York to try to merge, you know, one of these unification things. And it was Jews and Christians, etc. And they had, as usual in those kind of meetings, had this big discussion about whether Jesus was a Messiah and whether Messiah had been here. And Jewish rabbi stood up and sort of calmed the sea, because he said, well, when Messiah comes, we'll ask him who was here before. And so that sort of typifies what I'm talking about. All right, verse 17, Romans 2. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things which are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, and that's what we're studying, the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest the boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision profiteth, verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, then thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not circumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost thou transgress the law? For, now this is the biggie, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. To me, that's the most powerful few verses, among the most powerful in the Bible. Because it testifies that it doesn't matter what you call yourself outwardly, what matters is what happens inwardly. What happens in the circumcision of the heart, whether the artifices of the temple are in their proper order, whether or not you've abandoned yourself, that the way may be manifest in you. So, we could say again, not just to the Jews, thou art a teacher of the blind, supposedly. So, and now I want us to look back now and see the manifestation of this as predicted in Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 9. This was written 734 years before Christ. Let's start in verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multitude the nation, and hast not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Nothing else can perform it. Now the Lord has sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedar. Therefore the Lord shall set up adversaries of Rezin against him, and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, for they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fathers, their fatherless and widows. For every one is a hypocrite, and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. And for all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire, It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. And they shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, Ephraim, Manasseh, they together shall be against Judah, for all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is outstretched still. You know, I've said many times that the people in the churches that are just teaching heresy are, can still be saved. But here it says, For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. That's pretty heavy. But we have the blind leading the blind. They don't know that it's finished. They're leading them in the way of self-realization. It goes on and on and on and on. I couldn't sleep last night, and I watched Religion's channel. I shouldn't do that. It's just pure heresy. It's all the things that you have to do and all the goodies you can get from God. They have no knowledge that it's finished. They have no knowledge that every knee is already bowing. Every tongue is already confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. But they look at life from the eyes of the flesh and try to understand the Bible, and it's just pure garbage. Blind leaders of the blind. What?
Matthew talks about that, how great is that darkness.
If the light, but if an eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. But if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
And that's the light that they're spreading, the light of darkness.
And they have some idea or something comes into their mind and say, thus saith the Lord. No, he didn't. Still, that didn't change. All right, let's go to Malachi 2, just see a little bit more. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Verse 1, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him, for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law of his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law, etc., etc. Did we go to Romans 2?
Yeah. 2:17-12.
Let's go to John chapter 9. The whole of chapter 9 of John is about him healing a man that was blind from birth, that really just didn't have, you know, this tissue and artifices and nerves and stuff weren't even there in his eyes.
What are artifices?
Just things.
That's the definition. Things.
Yeah, it's whatever it's about.
The right word.
What? Whatever. Yeah, that's good. He healed him, and then they cast him out of the synagogue because of Jesus. And so now let's go to 35. And it's the whole chapter is interesting, so you ought to read the whole chapter if we don't have time. Then Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of Man, or the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see. They which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him and heard these words said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Do you understand what it means, what this means? You say we see, therefore you're blind. Now what is he talking about? If anyone says to you that this is what you do, then Jesus is saying they see in their mind, they have the right thing, they know the right thing to do. It's only us who are blind who say the only thing we can do is abandon yourself. We have no idea what's going to happen next. We have no idea what the fruit of that is and will be. But Jesus said they see. Do you hear that? That's why abandonment, taking no thought, leaving your mind and senses behind are so critical. Otherwise, you will think that you see, and you and whoever is following you will fall into the pit. The only way you can see from God's perspective is to be blind. From the standpoint of knowing or seeing what's going to happen next. Does everybody understand that? Let's go to Isaiah 40, I think.
It's fundamental when the seeing is talked about, it's always thought of as the physical eyes, and the seeing is believing, and this and that, but the seeing is of another realm that has nothing to do with the physical eyes.
Well, it's not Isaiah 40. I hate this when it happens. Well, somewhere there's a place where it says that it's the same place where it says that a burning reed will he not quench or something like that.
Smoking flax.
Huh?
Smoking.
Oh, why can't I? I hate it when I do that. How come one of you guys doesn't have one of those little magic thingies that you, like Nick does? What do you call them? iPads? He's got the concordance in his little iPad, so he can just go boom.
You would mock us.
Huh?
You would mock us for being modern.
I mock him, too. All right, this is us wasting time. I know. There can be no waste. It's in Isaiah somewhere. How come I can't find it? Come on, Pete.
Is it the one where, who is blind but my servant?
Yeah, where is that?
Isaiah 42.
42. Okay. Pete, save the day.
I remember where it was on the page. You know?
Yeah, I did too, and I couldn't find the page. All right, Isaiah 42. I'm so glad that I was able to find that. No, I didn't find it. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for him. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, and he that spread forth the earth, that giveth and that which cometh out of it, and he that giveth breath into the people upon it, the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Then let's go up to verse 17. Well, let's not. Let's go up to 16. I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in path that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Hallelujah. Do you understand what he's saying? Just abandon yourself. That's all. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are our gods. And that's what you do every time you pay attention to your mind, every time you pay attention to your emotions. Hear ye, deaf, and look ye, blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's seeing servant? Anyway, we probably will study blind some more. Anybody have any response to any of this? Do you have any reason that you keep your eyes open about the world? What, Gary?
It's just remarkable that it always comes back to the exact same point. And that's to empty yourself. That never changes.
Never changes. Never will.
It's funny, but blindness can be through ignorance and also through, probably more through defiance.
Through what?
Defiance.
Well, that's why. Thinking that there's something of value in the world is blindness. Take it, big guy.